Conversations. Inspiration.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you.
Growth.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Community.
These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
You'll hear celebrity interviews, healers, inspirational and hilarious stories. Most importantly, Maria wants to talk with you. Now, here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday, everybody. September 28th. Year is almost gone.
Yes, almost Christmas.
Everyone's probably listening and they're like, really, Maria?
Yeah, exactly.
When I'm a billionaire. I always wanted to be a billionaire.
You're going to get there.
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, you don't care about the private jet anymore?
I mean, I guess I kind of do. I don't know.
You look like a good little schoolgirl right now. She has her hair parted like almost completely to the one side, like Catholic schoolgirls would do. It's very slick.
Perfect.
And you have
straight.
Your hands straight, like you're ready for the nuns to come in
and smack me with the ruler.
Exactly.
Isn't that what they did to you? You said
no. They used to put it down my pants and down my dress to
the ruler.
Yeah, to tuck my shirt in properly, which really hurt.
No way.
Yeah, because it would scratch me because it's wood, so it would scratch my stomach all around. They would jab me like they were stabbing me.
Wait, I don't understand that this happened in like recent times.
But it's like my hands would go up. So like, you know, when your hands go up, your shirt comes up.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I going to do all day? Be like walking like this, like straight
and
with my hands.
Stick a ruler down your outfit.
The nuns would come around with rulers and they would literally start jabbing you like the shirts inside of your clothes and pushing them down. And if they came back up, they would think you untucked them to be cool. I'm like, what's cool about me getting a ruler down my pants all day with
a
unibrow? Do you think this makes me desirable by any means? Like, I enjoy this.
And there were no boys, so it's not like you were trying to impress
anybody.
No,
this was boys. This was middle school. This was middle school.
Oh, before. Yeah. Okay.
High school, the nuns were so sweet and different. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Another day, another time, I guess. Another show.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Quote of the day, smile in the mirror. Do that every morning and you'll start to see a big difference in your life.
Oh.
Yoko Ono. I smile through painful things. It helps.
Like what? Dentist office stuff?
Yeah. Like when I was doing IVF, when I was about to get injected, I would smile and it would take some of the pain away.
It was painful, huh?
Yeah. So it's actually really helpful.
Do you look at yourself in the mirror and smile?
Yeah. Or if I'm really stressed, I start to smile because it changes everything.
Do you feel that?
Yeah. It works.
Okay. I'll try it one day.
I'm not in pain right now, but I'm smiling.
Okay. So I should have done that past when I was getting the ruler down me.
Listen, you guys are going to smile because I have a fascinating story to tell you guys.
Oh,
technically Ashley has a fascinating story.
Technically.
So I've learned as of recently that there is a whole underground. Of course I knew that there were people with foot fetishes out there.
Right.
But there are people who get paid, get this, to have their toes sucked.
Yes.
I didn't realize that this was a thing. I mean, you've heard of escorts and things like that, paid for sex and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that you could make money having someone suck on your toes. And everyone I tell this to, and like I've said this in the last week, their jaws drop. And I'm like, we're all doing something wrong, guys. I could be chilling on my phone, emailing, shopping for things as I know I'm replenishing because someone's sucking on my toes.
Like, literally, I don't even know where to begin with this. But let's just say, like, the majority of people do not make the amount of money that these people make in 20 minutes to have a toe be sucked on.
How much money per toe?
It's not per toe. It's per it's per 20 minutes.
My business would be per toe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you would listen, if you were going to do the foot fetish thing, your foot fetish website would be beautiful. You know, everything would be, your pedicures would be perfect, but they'd be seasonal. It'd be like Christmas themed. And
well, here's the thing. So there are people, there is an Instagram account. I think it's called like Maria Menounos Feet. There's like a Wikipedia thing.
Yeah.
Like there are people obsessed with feet out there. And I don't get it because I've always like been grossed out by feet.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, people love them. And Ashley recently told me about a friend who has a friend that does this for a living.
Yes.
And every time I hear a story, I think it's so fascinating. I my jaw drops. And so the friends sent some text exchanges, and I think that they're just so fascinating. So I want to understand more.
Okay.
There's apparently a website you can sign up to have to be a part of this world and have your feet sucked.
Yeah, you can make your own personal website.
By the way, this podcast has some really amazing women on it.
That do not get their feet sucked.
Emmy-winning TV host Samantha Harris, who makes her money in a different way, is going to be talking to us. And Anastasia Suarez, who is CEO of Anastasia Beverly Hills. Lots of amazing takeaway in this podcast. This is the fun portion. So go ahead, Ashley.
Okay. So people make websites for themselves so they can sell their feet. They take pictures of their feet. Their faces are not in the pictures. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the way escorts do this. Escorts do the same thing where they never show their face, but they show their bodies. And they do it in a very beautiful way. But the feet, it's like being a hand model, but your feet. So there are these underground, as Maria had said, parties that exist. And people go and they, the woman sign up. They have their feet examined. If they have nice enough feet, they go to this thing. The men come in one at a time, and they basically get 20 minutes per person to suck on feet. Now, my friend does it, but she does it on a very strange level because she's also a personal foot fetish lady. So she'll...
What does that mean?
It's not my friend. My friend of my friend. From what I know, it's basically she goes to houses. She makes like house calls, and there's certain criteria that needs to be checked off beforehand. Like there's going to be a certain word that she'll have to say during it. Like she'll have to call the person sucking her foot, like boy toy or foot sucker or peasant boy.
So creative.
And these words have to be continued, like suck my toe, toy boy, suck my toe, peasant boy. And
you're so good at that, Ash.
Thank you. I'm actually thinking of, you know, listen, potentially. You never know. So it gets a little weird. So they never have sex, but the toe stuff goes to a level. It seems like the most disgusting level will be that they will masturbate in their pants while sucking on the toe.
Okay. The whole point of this is they're turned on by it. So I imagine there's some things that go on. But let me rewind for a second. There are parties where like multiple girls are lined up and multiple guys are lined up. Like, so it's like the manicure station where they all just like sit down and guys are just like having experiences.
I would like to go undercover. I would love to go undercover.
Can we send you as our undercover agent?
Absolutely. I don't know if there's any in Massachusetts. I'd have to find out, but I will absolutely go undercover for you, Maria, because I want to know if they are lined up. Like my friend, like I'm hearing this from someone. So it's not like I heard it directly, but she is a very good source. And she said that they line up, the girls line up. It's once a month. And the guys get 10 to 20 minutes to worship your feet. And my friend was telling me that her friend makes about $400 for 20 minutes.
Christy's face is just went from horrified to like,
deep
throat. Ooh,
mildly light bulb. Interested.
Well, the thing is, it gets deep. They deep throat. So they deep throat the foot. So they'll put the whole, like they like it to be deep throating, I guess.
Wait. So the guy deep throats
the foot.
Your foot.
Yeah, like you almost choke them with it.
So do they prefer teeny feet?
They don't specify on types of feet, but they do like certain smells.
Feet. I might not fit the criteria.
You may not fit the criteria, but I don't know. They do like certain smells. Some people like smelly feet. Like she was telling me, my friend was telling me that her friend that does this had to get her feet to smell really bad for one of her house calls. So she was doing like jumping jacks with no socks on, which is sneakers, to get her feet to smell.
I'm going to vomit everywhere right now. Oh my God. I hope no one's listening to this while eating.
Yep. And some of them like to eat smelly food while they're doing it. So they'll
what do you
eat,
mean?
Like,
who eats the smelly food?
So the man that will be, and by the way, maybe girls like this too, I don't know, but the men that have done this that I heard of, some of them like to eat smelly food, like something that has an odor to it, and then suck on the foot at the same time.
Like an Indian food that's like pungent
or
whatever.
Yeah, something pungent
like
and smelly.
Spicy.
Exactly, because they want the foot to smell like the food.
Oh, so they need you to eat this stuff so you smell like it.
No, they eat it. And then, so it's like, it's almost like you're eating, but you have like a cocktail. Instead of the cocktail, it's a foot.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's a great example, Ash.
Yeah, thanks.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So this person actually, one of the people that she ended up meeting that she goes to house calls, lets her like use his apartment whenever she wants. He is like, he doesn't have like a lot of money. So he took on two extra jobs to be able to continue to suck her toes.
No.
Oh,
you're joking.
Oh no, I'm 100%. for real.
Okay.
Tell me more. She has like all these nicknames she has to call him. I only know a few of them. Like I said, there's like boy toy, peasant boy. But he's at her beck and call no matter what. So if she at 3 a.m. wants McDonald's, he'll run and give her McDonald's because he doesn't have a lot of money. So he's basically like indebted to her.
Wait, at 3 a.m, he's delivering it to her house or is she at his house?
No, if like she needs anything because he doesn't have a lot of money, he's basically said like, I will do anything for you at any moment in time until I can give you even more money, basically, because he can't keep up with the $400 for 20 minutes.
So this is like an addiction.
It's an addiction and men are addicted. And so it's getting to the point now where she makes so much money. She's quit all of her jobs and she just does this full time. And she said she makes so much money. She can travel anywhere she wants. She has everything she wants. And she's like, and I don't have sex. She's like, so I'm not an escort. Now, I don't know. I'd like to ask you guys if you think this is a form of prostitution, because it's not, there's nothing, she's not giving her body away. She's giving her toes away, which are like the end of your body.
Our bodies are ours and we can do what we want with them, right?
Yeah.
And this is a judgment-free zone.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not something I would do, but I mean, listen, like, I realize these things make me excited because I know that if shit hit the fan...
I have people
who like my feet. I can make a lot of money.
Maria, you have... 5 stars on WikiFeet.
No way.
Five stars.
And by the
beautiful
way,
feet.
You would be able to charge quadruple because it's a celebrity foot.
$500 a toe.
Maria, so that would way mean more.
$1,000 a toe. So
absolutely.
That's, so it's 10 grand in 20 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I wonder how Kevin would feel about this.
Well, some of them, here's the thing. You may not even have to get pedicures either because some of them prefer your foot to have like that
natural
thickness skin, the extra skin that and stuff, that cheesy skin. Oh. Yeah, like that. Like,
wait, did you just say, oh my God, I'm going to throw up everywhere. Christy just passed out in the booth. Oh my God, she just collapsed. Oh my God.
I thought it was judgment free. I was just telling you what I heard.
Do you get extra for toe cheese?
Wait. Yeah, I think it's some of them like that. Oh. I don't understand. Listen, I don't get it. But we said, you do you.
This is
we'll do
why
us.
Life is so fascinating. I think these are the most fascinating things, is hearing about what goes on that you would never know about.
Never.
This is unbelievable.
Truly. It truly is. And they're making more than a lot of escorts. That's the crazy thing.
They're making more than escorts for sex?
I mean, listen, there are escorts of all levels. I am actually personal friends with some because I don't judge. I don't care. And they, some of them make a lot of money. Some of them make like just as much as getting your foot sucked. And they're going, they're doing a lot more, you know?
Okay.
I mean, they're going to
interview
dinners
this
and
person.
Stuff.
Will this person go incognito? Will protect her identity? Will protect the guy's identity?
Maybe we do like a voice changer.
Yeah. I just want to know. What I want to know is, we won't roll cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, what are these guys like? What do they look like? What do they do for jobs? What I want to know more about the customer.
Yes.
How do and they then, treat her?
Yeah.
When this is
and
all
I
going
want
on.
To know. Like, what does she do while they're doing this?
She says she laughs. It's hilarious. She says she'll put the TV on. She'll be on her phone, on Instagram. She's like, it goes by so fast. I mean, I asked a lot of these questions, and I'm surprised.
It's like being
you know?
At the dry bar. You're getting your hair done. You're watching a movie, and by the time you're done, you have great hair. This is like, by the time you're done, you're like $400 richer, and someone just finished sucking your toes.
So we have to find out. I'm going to ask my friend to try to convince this girl to do it, to talk to us, because I
please.
Think that...
Please,
you know.
Please. I'm fascinated and I need to know more. In the meantime, thanks
I'm
for joining us here, where we like to educate you on all sorts of things. No subject is too weird.
No.
You can find us here every Friday on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to like, comment, rate, subscribe. I'm sorry if we made you vomit today. Tell a friend about the show. Clearly, we're a little wacky. Hoping you guys like it enough or you'll want to join us on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109 weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on demand on the SiriusXM app. Today, coming up, we've got Samantha Harris. She's an Emmy-winning TV host. She underwent a double mastectomy in 2014 to treat invasive breast cancer. She's now cancer-free. She's going to tell us about how to prevent cancer and more in her new book, Your Healthy is Healthy. And Anastasia Suarez, who is the founder and CEO of Anastasia Beverly Hills. She built a billion-dollar business from the ground up. She's a gangster. She's my friend. I'm so proud of her and her accomplishments. So she's going to give us tons of advice on how to succeed in life, how to roll through problems, and everything she knows about makeup. We're going to start with Samantha Harris. Enjoy.
Guys, my guest today is an Emmy-winning TV host, certified trainer, and now a best-selling author. Despite leading a healthy lifestyle, which included posing for the cover of Muscle and Fitness, hers a record 4 times, damn girl, and keeping up with the pros as the host of Dancing with the Stars, she was diagnosed with breast cancer at age 40, now sharing how she became a cancer thriver in a new book called Your Healthy is Healthy. Please welcome Samantha Harris. Woo!
Hey.
So, Samantha Harris, I didn't know you were a certified trainer, too.
In my downtime.
You train people?
I got certified. I'd been doing so many magazine covers, and I felt like I needed to have more street cred. And when I first moved to LA, I was a trainer. I taught classes like cardio kickboxing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I felt like I needed, but I never was certified. So I went and I studied for a matter of many, many months, and I got my certification, and every 2 years I have to re-up it. So that means ongoing, continuing education classes. And
oh my God,
it's just something on my side. Awesome.
No biggie. You ran here to the studio this morning?
I was 20 miles. No. Maria and I are literally neighbors. And I live, a 10-minute jog down the street. And I thought, you know what? I need to get it in today. I'll jog to the studio. We'll do the interview. And then I'll continue because you've got some really great hills behind your house that I love running.
You're going to jog them? I barely can walk them. Are you serious? I'm huffing and puffing just walking.
I didn't even want to walk to your house from where I parked today. I was debating, should I text Maria to open the gate for me? Or is that just too lazy?
I jogged past you. I was like, that cute girl in her cute shoes getting out of that car. The cute little backless area on your sweater. I love it.
Thank you. Oh my God.
You're a bad woman.
Slightly. No, you know what it is? It's all really about being the healthiest version of myself and trying to fit it in. I think we all so quickly and easily come up with excuses in our daily life, which we all have plenty. Yeah. We're too tired. The kids, I didn't get the kids stuff done, or I'm running around. I have this meeting. I have this shoot. I have this work thing. I've got the PTA meeting. I mean, literally from afterwards, I'm going to school for 2 hours because we have a parent.
Are you jogging there?
I walk there. Well, it's close. It's also in the neighborhood.
You're going to show up all sweaty and you're okay.
I honestly don't care. Because it means I'm getting it done.
Yeah,
and I'm there. That. I'm present for my kids, and I'm helping with the prospective parent night tonight. I don't even know what we're making, but I'm going to be there to make it. And, it's about fitting it in and not making the excuses and making fitness and exercise a priority, because for longevity, as we all know, exercise has to be part of it.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that you have to get in an intense burn your butt to the ground class or jog for an hour a day. It could mean 30 minutes of exercise divided into 10-minute segments, maybe 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes on your lunch break, and 10 minutes before, walking the dog at night before you go to bed.
I like that. That's how I've kind of always approached it. Even when I'd be on set, I would do my calf raises or my lunges or whatever you can do throughout your day so that you don't have to make this big chore and this big scheduled to do thing,
Yeah. And that did stand out to me in your book when you had mentioned something about in your lunch break, going to, even if it's a brisk walk. And I was like, wait, no, that's really tough to do. Cause you have that one break. Do you really want to go and do it? But you're showing that you actually do that in a sense. I mean, you are filling it in and it does work.
It's also, what's interesting is that for people who do take that break on their lunch, where they're not just shoveling the food in, sitting at their desk, going through their Instagram, which occasionally I've definitely been guilty of doing, but if they get that 10 minutes of exercise to walk to their favorite little lunch spot or just get some fresh air, they're actually not only doing something great for their body, but they're more productive for their job. So it's actually good for their bosses for what they're doing.
Right.
And they're more focused and you feel better about yourself and boosts your confidence.
That's great. Advice.
It is a big deal, actually. I remember at E, we would run the stairs up and down.
Oh,
and then
smart.
I'd go in and get my baby wipes and clean myself up after. Yeah. But you got to get it in. So here's the thing that I think is fascinating about your story is you were super healthy before you got cancer. Almost like you did everything right. So what do you think led to your diagnosis?
What I did when I was blindsided at 40 with this breast cancer diagnosis and no hereditary link was really lean into my journalism background. And I started reading voraciously and speaking to experts. And because
I have a theory, by the way,
do you? Okay,
of what might have happened. But go ahead.
Okay, I definitely want to hear your theory. I do. Dr.
Dr. Menounos on the case.
But what it is that what you put in on and around your body, right? So what you're ingesting, your food, what you're putting on your face, your beauty products, then what you're putting around your body, your household cleaning products, but also around yourself and your being, toxic friendships, the toxins that fill your life in every aspect are so detrimental to your health or incredibly beneficial to your health. And I thought, so let's just take nutrition for a moment. I thought I was eating so healthfully.
Were you though?
No, I wasn't, but I thought I was. Wow. I had my cheeseless pizzas and I had anything that was low fat and fat free and low.
Of course, now those are preservative
full
heaven.
Of chemicals.
Yeah.
You have to make up for the sugar in some way. I thought fat was the F word for me. I was so fearful of fat. And once I came out of my, you know, crazy year of cancer and recoveries from surgeries and started to change the way I approached nutrition.
Yeah, because for everyone who's listening right now, you had breast cancer and you got a double mastectomy, right?
Yes. So I was 40 years old, a 3 and 6 year old at home.
And it was like the day after you had gotten a clean mammogram, right?
Yeah, 11 days after I had a clear mammogram.
How does that even
happen?
I found
the lump. You know, they said once they knew what to look for after they found the cancer, after I had a lumpectomy, that still said I don't have cancer.
Wait, I don't understand. The whole point of going for a mammogram is so they can find the lump.
Right. Well, unfortunately, tests aren't fail-safe because my ultrasounds, I had two ultrasounds, they didn't detect it.
The
I had
ultrasound an MRI. Didn't either because they say if you have fibrous breasts, which I happen to have, Kevin's like, don't say that like it's a bad thing. He's funny. Anyway, you need to get an ultrasound. So I always feel like because I've gotten the ultrasound and the mammogram that I'm safe.
You probably are, but there are sadly many instances. The MRI didn't detect it. It detected a weird clump of cells, but those whatever they look for that are the markers that say, oh, that's cancer, didn't show that
so
it was
cancer.
So
how did they find it?
Well, because of I had a needle biopsy. Well, I found the lump. Then I went to have the ultrasounds and the MRI and the needle biopsy. The needle biopsy came back with an irregular pathology with an irregular clump of cells.
But wait, so they took those out. Why did you do another self-examination after you just left all those battery of tests? Like,
you know
I
what?
Would be like, yeah, I'm good, boob. See you next year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's one thing I said, like, don't be afraid to feel yourself up, really. Like, we have to know our bodies better than anyone, any doctor can ever know them. And so in doing that, really what it was is, you know, after a long day of working at, for me, it was I was coming out of a workout and I had that like tight sports bra or a long day in your bra and you take it off and you're just like, I got to just circle these things around. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. I think breastfeeding both my daughters really helped me become comfortable with touching my breasts and not in a sexual way. Well, that too, but not, but not in a sexual way, but in a like, just, I need to know what these are.
Of course.
You know, you have milk coming out. You got to figure things out. So that helped a lot. And so what happened was I had a clear mammogram. 11 days later, I was taking my sports bra off and I was circling them around to get them just loose again. And I was like, oh, what's that? And it was, I mean, it was sizey. It was, you know, bigger than a quarter. So anyway.
Was this a reputable place that you went to for the mammogram and ultrasound and stuff?
It was. It was. Well, what happened, and unfortunately,
so scary.
Tests don't always detect. So what they said was, when we look back at the original mammogram, it looked like it was a snowball in a snowstorm. I don't know why they talked like that, but a snowball in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And so it was hard to find. Thankfully, they found it. I had a double mastectomy. Here I am, 4.5 years later, clear, free, cancer free, feeling stronger, more energized and fit, and wrote this book, Your Healthiest Healthy, which was basically the guide I wished so much someone had given me when I'd been diagnosed or even before, because maybe then I would never have been diagnosed because I would have already been making all these life changes.
So you made all these changes we were talking about, and I digress for a second because I needed everyone to hear that story. But you know, you were saying the cleaning products, everything you're putting on your skin.
Right.
So you changed all of that.
I did, but not overnight. It is incredibly overwhelming.
Yes.
And you don't want to create more stress in yourself. What am I putting on my body? So my first step was I changed the deodorant I was using. I got rid of the aluminum-based deodorant.
Using?
I use something called Crystal Essence.
And you like it?
I love it. You know, look.
Does it really work? Because I've tried some of them, and they haven't really worked.
When you
started smelling, and I've never smelled in my life. Thank you, Secret. Right.
Well, no. So true, though. When I made the first change, and I won't even because I don't want to bash anybody, but when I've changed to the first clean deodorant, it was a big brand that sold at Whole Foods, I smelled like a hulking man. I was like, yeah. Who is following me around with that stench? Oh, yeah. It's me.
Yeah. And I was like, so sorry, Secret. I didn't mean to say goodbye to you. I didn't mean to dump you. I went right back to my old boyfriend.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I know. Exactly. Well, and so it took some trial and error for sure. But then.
Okay. So the kind you said?
The kind is Crystal Essence. It's a crystal based roll on. Okay. It goes on clear. But there's something called Stink Stop. There's something. There are so many great brands that don't make you smell, but you're still going to sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. That's just getting the toxins out of your body. Deal with it. So the other changes, that was the first change I made. The next changes came with nutrition. I realized how much sugar I was eating that I didn't realize I was eating.
Really?
So my Greek yogurt. Well, first of all, I used to eat like whatever big brand, basic yogurt, strawberry flavored. And then I realized it had like artificial sweeteners and then it had all the sugar. So then I switched to Greek yogurt. A little cleaner. Then
gotta go Greek people. Every which way.
Go Manunos. Yes. And then I switched to an organic. Then from a Greek to organic Greek, but still blueberry flavored. And that's when I started to work with a nutritionist who said, "Well, like blueberry flavor has a ton of sugar." And now
and it's not even blueberries; it's just dyed to look like blueberries.
Right, exactly.
Most of the time. Do you know what's funny is this morning my makeup artist came in and he was drinking. He's like, "Oh, I have a new drink at Starbucks. It's maple something latte." And I said, "Have you ever looked at what's in there? Like, I get the cappuccino now because I know there's nothing in it." So I looked up the maple whatever latte from Starbucks. 45 grams of sugar. So I said, how many teaspoons is that, Siri? And then I found out it's 11 and a quarter teaspoons of sugar in each one of these maple lattes. All those drinks that we're drinking at Starbucks are killing us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I stopped going after
50 something grams of carbs. I mean, it's like, it's insane.
Well, and that's the thing. It's hidden in places you don't even think. It's in your ketchup.
Yep.
It's in your pasta sauce. So the next thing I did for my kids was I went through, first of all, then I eventually got off dairy for the most part. And if you're going to have dairy, try to find, you know, definitely organic grass fed if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids still have Greek yogurt, but I'd make sure they have organic. I'm now onto green smoothies with, so tons of great things. And I have that. I have tons of recipes in my book. It's not a cookbook, but in the nutrition section. But then it was a matter of getting rid of all the high fructose corn syrup. So I was purging my pantry. Anything that said high fructose corn syrup got into the trash can.
Honestly, anything in a can or a box really should not be there. Like you should be eating so, so sparingly from them.
Right. Right. I mean, whole foods, plant-based is what I aim for.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of fish here and there if I can try to find clean sources of fish. But then it's not just the nutrition. It's also the people in your life. So assessing the toxic relationships that are in your life that might be dragging you down. Who's that friend who you're always schlepping to the other side of town for, who never is really picking up the phone and making the plans? Mm-hmm, you're making all the effort.
Mm-hmm.
It detracts from your life. You don't realize it's just slowly draining
Absolutely.
You. Yeah. Or the person who you talk to, and every time you leave that conversation, your shoulders are up to your ears because you don't realize how stressed you are.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of dialogue in Your Healthiest Healthy, scripted dialogue about, in this case, how to break up with a friend. What are the steps that you go through to make sure that you can mitigate the shrapnel that would come from it?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I'm really the most proud about in the book, is that there's a lot of different scripted talk. How do you talk to kids broken down by the ages when you are diagnosed with a health crisis?
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that you speak to a 3-year-old is a lot different than the way you're going to talk to your 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole book is backed by research and science and scientific studies from talking to
different
experts.
Kevin would say, you're a journalist, you're a TV host, you're a total nerd. So I know.
Yes. Yes.
That's what he says about all of us. He's like, you're all nerds. All of you little TV hostesses. You're all nerds. You study everything.
It's the
you know everything.
Yeah.
So I believe me, I fully trust in your knowledge in this.
Thank you. And that's, you know, that's really what it's about, and making sure that you're making those changes.
Yeah.
And everything is small changes, because you can't make sweeping changes overnight.
On anything.
Well, it's not going to have longevity.
Well, like, think about it. When you go, you want to go on a diet, that's a big enough deal. So when you get diagnosed with the C word, then you're dealing with, am I going to live or am I going to die? All the people that you're worried about in your life. And then you got to figure out diet, medicine, and like treatments and all this. It's too much all at once.
Right.
So you have to take it in baby steps.
Right. And I think that finding, in a, especially in the midst of a diagnosis, whether it's a cancer diagnosis, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, all the changes that you make to be healthier, to prevent or avoid cancer are the same changes that are going to benefit you for other chronic diseases.
Exactly.
And no matter what that is, you feel like you're in the midst of having no control because you've been diagnosed with something. And so how do you take back control? And this mm-hmm. is all about how do we do this in small, manageable steps, little by little. And then once those changes become part of your everyday life, you mm-hmm. go back to the book and you say, okay, what little nugget can I grab now to change and add in? And eventually, and for me, 4.5 years later, I'm like, whoa, I can't believe how far I've come, but it's an ongoing journey and I'm still making changes.
The thing is like for people to understand is we want to do this before we get there, right? Like I keep telling like a lot of the younger people in my life, you can burn the candle at both ends for so long,
right?
And eat shit and try to do everything. Like it's only going to be you're a ticking time bomb. It's going to happen at some point. And I've seen it with both my parents. My dad has been type 1 diabetic for like 45 years, maybe longer now. Mm. And he is only put pure fuel in his body. He doesn't eat anything that's not just pure. And he was poor his whole life. Like he figured out making a garden and like eating clean vegetables, right?
Amazing.
And so he has zero side effects from the diabetes, where most people have are already dead. Right. They've been amputated. They have nerve damage. They have lost their sight. All kinds of things. My dad has none of that. Why? Pure fuel in his body. My mom, brain cancer. Her tumor has shrunk literally to like a crumb.
Wow.
And that's because we've had her on the ketogenic diet, which she's not following 100%. She cheats here and there, but a few cheats here and there has been okay compared to what she was doing before.
Sure.
So my thing is diet is the most important part and moving, of course.
Yes.
In the break, I just found out that Samantha also has done every entertainment news show. I thought I held the distinct honor of hopping into everyone. We both are sisters in hopping around.
I love it.
Yes.
But I will say, when you look at, and it's funny, Christy reminded me of this morning. I've always thought that our business is pretty toxic, as we all have seen in the Me Too movement, but the entertainment news business is very toxic. And I also think the regular news business is very toxic. And when you think of all the women, even like from GMA to, to you, to everywhere, like all of these women that have worked for the same people have gotten cancer. And I don't think there's a coincidence.
I have had that thought. My mom, it's interesting that you bring that up. My mom brought that up right when I was diagnosed. I've been telling you for years, this business is too stressful. You're running like crazy 24/7. Get on a plane. Go here. Go do. Oh, you want to be with your kids? Can't do this. And same thing. She had the same exact thought you did.
Yeah. And so
stress is not good.
Yeah. But did you deal with just overworking or did you deal with really nasty, cruel people?
I would say
for the same people.
Yes,
I'm curious because I work for some cruel
this
people.
It's a conversation in private.
We don't have to name any names or anything.
You know, it's interesting. I was, there have been times where I've worked for some people who have been very cruel and made me cry a lot. But then I've also come kind of full circle with some of those people.
Yeah. No, me too.
Which is good.
I've forgiven. I won't forget, but I have forgiven and moved on for my sanity and my health. And I don't want to hate anybody.
Right. Right. But no, I feel like I remember when I was at one show and I was destroyed almost as a human from working in there in some ways and went to another show where I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop because it was so amazing and so wonderful. And it's such a beautiful environment with support. And yes, I was working like crazy, but there was this supportive environment and the shoe never dropped, which was amazing. And so I feel that what I learned from that experience is that there is a way to lead by fear and there's a way to lead by encouragement. Yeah. And, we need to support each other, whether it's a male boss, a female boss, whoever, to support each other and acknowledge the work that's going into every day. And look, if you're a slacker, that's a whole other thing.
We're
not slackers.
And I will work my butt off and go above and beyond if you're going to be at least normal. I don't even need you to be kind. I just can't have you be cruel. Right. Mm-hmm. And so did you have a harder journey with men in this business or women?
I worked mostly with women.
Uh-huh.
So I would say both, but the two sides of that coin were both women.
Yeah.
So I've seen amazing women to work for, and women who,
because I feel like this Me Too movement, the next part of it is the cruel women who also act cruel on behalf of the men they're protecting, which is a whole other layer of this, because women on women crime is not good.
No. And I mean, I think thankfully we're seeing so much, you know, because of Me Too, maybe women are realizing we need to support each other more.
Yes.
But I think that it's becoming more evident how important it is to lift each other up. I've always been of the mentality of you're going to ask for my help, I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
Because even if it's someone that's competitive for the same job. You know, people came on to Dancing with the Stars. When I went on maternity leave from Dancing with the Stars, literally the moment on live TV I announced I was pregnant, the phone started.
Yeah,
ringing. And
yeah.
I get it. I've heard of some other jobs that are open now, and I'm like, hey, agent, did you get on that yet?
Yeah.
At the same time, I remember almost being like, hey, that's my job. But we have to help lift each other up.
Yeah.
And especially if I know I was leaving a job and not coming back to it, it didn't matter who filled in and who got that next job in my stead, because to have any sort of animosity for that person was pointless. I was leaving no matter what.
Some of my people in my life who like had to kill me.
Oh.
I'm like, really? Like, you're leaving on your own. You want to kill me?
Right, right. I mean, it took me because you're so, especially if you leave something and you don't want to leave, or you leave under weird circumstances, then it's a little bit harder. But I think when you're, it doesn't matter, when you're leaving, whether by your choice or the management's choice.
I wanted to help everybody that was taking over for me.
Right.
I was like, here, let me give you all the inside, like how to navigate this. And let me give you the cliff notes for surviving this. Like, it's weird, but...
And we've done Dancing with the Stars. We've both done Dancing with the Stars, which is fine. We've literally done every show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is weird.
We didn't realize we're like twins.
I know. Can I ask you both a
question? You haven't been in the ring.
Do you know that I used to get on the carpet? I have not wrestled
yet.
I used to be on the red carpet sometimes and be like, Maria, over here. I'm like, it's Samantha.
Stop.
This time it's Samantha.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so many people just, you know, because they see the long, dark hair and we did the same things. I mean, you probably never got a Samantha, but I got a and I was fine because you're a few years younger. So I was like, thank you.
Oh, my God.
Hi. What were you going to ask?
I was going to ask you both a question because you both have done so much of the same stuff.
No.
If you guys knew what you were going to experience later in life, would you have gone into hosting?
If I knew that it was a direct correlation to my cancer, you mean? Or
well, just everything you would both experience. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, hell no.
I mean, I would do my career all over
you
again.
You would do it all over.
I feel so grateful for the opportunities.
There was so much good that came along with the bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, whether it was like the travel and being able to go all over the world for things, or people that you were able to sit down and interview.
But I had a really rough journey. Like a really rough journey.
Yeah, we have to talk. We have to compare notes.
Yeah, I had a really, really rough journey. I had 3 good years out of at least 17.
Mm. Wow. That's really sad.
That was really brutal.
That is.
I definitely didn't experience that. I had some nasty moments where I was in tears.
But I also was trailblazing too. Like I was pushing the boundaries of like what we could do, and saying like this could be a compliment. Like me doing these outside things can be a compliment. And like I had to fight all these fights, which also
you're talking about taking on other jobs with your job.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah,
right.
That was also hard.
Oh,
So I know that was definitely tough. But I don't know. I think people like to extinguish light. I think that people can be very jealous and insecure, and it's unfortunate.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the real unfortunate part of it all is that stress adds so much detriment to our health and our overall well-being.
Yep.
And we need to thrive, and in order to thrive, we need to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And so finding ways to mitigate stress, whether it's cutting out the toxic friendships in your life or building in a practice of 2 minutes a day of
meditation.
Mm-hmm. And to me, meditation was like, oh, seriously, I'm going to go sit on a mat for like a half hour and chant. What I came to realize is that meditation can be in all sorts of forms.
Yeah.
And so that's been my biggest challenge in my health journey, is building a meditative practice.
Headspace.
As part of my Headspace. Right. No, that is a good app.
Headspace.
But I think like finding moments in the day, meditative moments, and just taking 2 minutes to take in, how do I feel? What's the breeze on my face? Do I hear the birds?
I love it. Samantha Harris, guys, her book is called Your Healthiest Healthy. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. A great read for anybody at any stage. Hopefully you get this early on in life so that you can prevent anything. And she has done all the homework for you. Hope you enjoyed that. Here's Anastasia Suare. My guest today immigrated to the U.S. with nothing but her entrepreneurial resolve. She pioneered eyebrow shaping in the 90s, eventually opening her own salon and launching a product line. She remains the driving force behind what's become a billion-dollar beauty brand. Please welcome the founder and CEO of Anastasia Beverly Hills, my friend Anastasia Suare! Oh my goodness. Billion-dollar brand. When you think of where you came from in Romania and where you started and where you're at now, I was just at your house. You were doing my brows the other day. And I just said, when I looked around, this just all represents such hard work and passion. And, you know, you should be so obviously proud of yourself. But did you ever envision this? Like, from where you came from, that this could happen?
No, absolutely not. Of course, I wanted to do something significant. I wanted to come here and prove that, hey, I'm smart, I could do things, and I'm willing to work really hard. This country was so incredible, and what they offer, what America offered me and my family is incredible, and I swear I wanted to be the best citizen. I want to give back. I wanted to work really hard and you know, follow my passion, prove that I was able to create this incredible company and that we still love to work and to connect with our customers. I mean, starting from the salon in Beverly Hills, you know, we were there. Rachel, you were, you know, from the beginning,
there. I mean, to this day, yes. No one's ever touched my eyebrows other than you or someone you've trained.
I know.
I would never trust anyone else. You're the only one.
And you remember how it was. I mean, you will see every celebrity possible, but yeah,
just lining up in that little road away to take their turn with you.
But as incredible was to work with the biggest celebrity in Hollywood, everyday clients, all my clients were as important. To me, I wanted them to feel like the biggest movie stars themselves. And it was important for us to understand the women, what they want, what they like, what they don't like. And I think just paying attention and listening, I think we were able to give them back what they wanted, make them feel beautiful, make them feel confident. Sometimes I think I had clients that they would be there just because they wanted that encouragement. Like, I'm going for an audition and I don't know if I will get it. And I was like, let me do the eyebrow. This is the power eyebrow, the winner eyebrows. And you could go there and you will get it. Yeah. You know, you need, we want that. And I was so blessed to be able to do that. And it was interesting that after 20 years being in the salon and interacting with the clients, when the Instagram, you know, we jumped on Instagram very early on.
Your daughter was like gangster with
this
that.
This is, 2012. And we were able to communicate the same way, you know, taking care of, like, we want to help you. We'll buy you the Sony 6 camera because you remember iPhone didn't have a good camera at the beginning. So the ones that we thought that they were so talented, we send them a Sony 6 camera and teaching them how to, the ring light,
You would send these cameras to fans of your products.
Yes, to makeup artists that we saw a potential.
Smart. Yeah.
So we send them the camera and then the ring lights, you know, to just have to, because it's important to have a beautiful makeup. But if you do not have a good light and a good camera, it's a waste.
Yeah.
And kind of I think we're part of creating all these influencers the makeup industry. And I'm proud that I was able to empower those women and men too, because we were the first brand that promoted men as makeup artists.
So the thing is that I think is so important, and this is what I tell brands that are coming up, you know, and I won't name names, but I'm like, the thing that I've seen with your, at least with your makeup line, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's everywhere always. And that's not easy to do. So what I'm trying to say is you were never cheap with your gifting, let's say. You made sure every makeup artist had your products, right?
Yes.
That's an investment. You made sure that these makeup artists had the best lighting and all of that. That's a massive investment.
Do you know what my strategy was? I sat down with Claudia and I said, look, we need to make the best quality makeup. The best. And mm-hmm. and the first one that we'll gift will be the makeup artist because they know, they understand, they will talk about, they will use, they will use on their clients, superstars, celebrities, and clients, they will use the product and they will talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because when you like a product, you believe in a product, you are the best selling person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we see that product there. Yes. They're using it on us. Yes. Then we feel beautiful and we're like, I need that.
Correct.
And I said, all of these people that start these brands and they don't invest in themselves in that way fail or have a really hard time.
Well, I think was as well being authentic. I think, remember, I created this product line based on a theory that the golden ratio, how to create eyebrows,
What's the golden ratio?
Oh, it's like we need to talk for hours. But is a theory that I build an eyebrow shaping technique. Golden ratio is a mathematical formula that is found everywhere in nature, in architecture. The human eye is encoded to recognize that perfect proportion. So when you shape correctly an eyebrow based on everybody's bone structure and natural eyebrow shape, you are perceived as beautiful.
Whoa.
So the same way we created all the products, the contouring kit, the highlighting kit, because makeup basically is why, I don't know if you ever thought why you apply makeup. Makeup is applied just to create that perfect balance and proportion by applying the right color to create that 3D effect. So you apply dark colors, such as a contouring, to minimize certain part of the feature of your face and lighter color to emphasize certain part of the face. So this way you create cheekbones, for instance. You want stronger, beautiful cheekbones, then you learn how to contour. You apply the contouring at the base of the cheeks and you go higher with the bronzer and with the highlighter.
Whoa, so, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
And I've been doing my makeup for
so long. Every product that I created with my daughter was based on this theory. And not only we created the best quality product, but we wanted to teach and to kind of share every secret that I had and I decoded with all our followers and customers, because I thought that is important for everyone to apply correctly the makeup. And once you look in the mirror, like, wow, I look beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I let's say I have a wider nose bridge. Well, with contouring, you will be able to create an illusion of a thinner nose bridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, you are a young woman that at 20, you feel like, oh, my God, I hate my nose. And then you learn how to contour. You feel like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm perfect.
It's funny. I never contoured my nose until Dimitri started doing my makeup. No, but he contours my nose and it looks even better. Like it just,
you have
it makes
nose.
A difference.
Yes, correct.
I never contoured in general and he contours and I'm like, it creates something.
It's perfect balance and proportion with your face.
Yeah.
Your features are beautiful. But you see, if you emphasize everything by doing correctly, placing correctly the makeup, you are perfection.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you have never looked more freaking gorgeous.
Oh,
my God.
You're so adorable.
I mean, blonde and gorgeous. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is what I loved so much about coming to you is that it wasn't just getting my eyebrows done. It was like an experience. Like those 15, 20 minutes I got to sit in your chair where we just had to have girl chat.
Yes.
Like we would talk about boys and life. And like, it was just such a great time with you.
I have to say that I miss that the most because I'm not in the salon anymore. I'm traveling so much. The company is going global. We cover everywhere. I just came back from London. We launch in Selfridges. And by the way, they just sent me this morning an email that we had an award as the best launch of makeup line in Selfridges.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. I'm going to Poland. We just launch in Italy, Spain. We'll launch Russia. So I'm traveling everywhere.
I know.
And working on everything that I can. You know, me and my daughter, we are still handling the Instagram.
Yeah.
On top of everything. So that's another job.
So at this point, if you think about how hard you've worked building, right?
Yes.
Are you putting in the same hours or more?
I worked forever between 7:30 in the morning when I wake up until 12:30 when I go to bed. So it's work, doesn't matter what, if I go 20 years ago, 25 years ago. It's just a different type of work.
Yeah.
You know, I always say to everybody and even my team that the ABH 300, which means, have you seen the movie 300 with J.R. Butler?
Of course.
Like every morning he will pull up his sword and he will go to war. I think this is what business is. I think this is what life it is. And there are challenges every day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that, oh my God, I'm so successful right now, I could rest.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of people think that once you make it,
now
she's got it great. And I always tell people, no, once you've made it, you have to work harder to sustain it and to keep it all going.
Yeah, I think it's a different type of work.
Yeah.
It's like a kid, you know, when you have a newborn baby is crying, doesn't sleep, and you think like, when she's going to be two, it's going to be different. I will not have this problem. Yes, but you will have different problems. Mm-hmm. And with business and with life, it's always the same.
See, that's such a great perspective. You always give great perspective. That's why I call you my Tony Robbins, because you also... You also taught me and everyone who listens about problems shouldn't be a surprise. We just have to roll through them. So now in my journey in this last at least year, every problem that popped up, I just thought of you and I'm like, roll.
Have two options, A and B, always. Study and don't freak out. Don't get stressed. Just, okay, let me see. What is the best? I have this option A, and I'm going to prepare option B. Because if option A doesn't work, I don't want to feel depressed about that. Oh, my God, this doesn't work. I will have already the option B that I will put it in action, and I don't need to worry about it.
So how do you balance an empire, billion-dollar empire, and, you know, focusing on your health and things like that?
I eat very healthy. I mean, of course, sometimes I will have little dessert, but I try to eat less carbs, not sugar. I try to eat very healthy. I work out. I have a trainer that comes in, that Pilates. And I take my vitamins, not too many, but I, to be honest with you, I think I have good genetics as well, but I think it's all about being balanced.
Yeah, but how do you get that balance when you're working so hard?
I wake up in the morning and I meditate. I put my goals and I start the day thinking, you know, I will have challenges today. I will try to, you know, to solve every problem, or if I don't, it's okay. That's fine. I'm a human. I don't need to be a superwoman.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think probably coming from Romania, where, trust me, everything was really, really hard.
Yeah.
I think we live in the best country.
Yeah.
We have the best opportunities. We have everything we want. It's all the power of your brain to control everything. It's all here, I think. If you are able to balance everything, because it's all about balance at the end of the day.
Do you ever feel like you're not in balance?
Maybe I have days, but I go to bed and I think like, I can't take it. I can't do this anymore. And I wake up in the morning and I start all over again.
Every day is a new day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I learned working in live TV for a long time. Yeah. It's like you can screw up one day, but you have the whole new day
tomorrow,
you know, to make it right. Yeah. You know, and I think that's a good way to live too.
Yeah, I just think you're so inspiring because you're—I mean—one of the most successful self-made women.
Thank you.
And you really are self-made. I mean, there was no one there with you other than your daughter, obviously, who worked with you.
I love her too,
and she's awesome. I think it's inspiring for people to hear the journey and to know how you do it.
And you know what? I want to say it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. I had so many days when I would drag my kid every Saturday after work and we'll travel around the country. This is before social media. To kind of talk about our products.
Yeah.
And we'll come back Monday night at 2 o'clock from our travel. And the next day, Tuesday morning, we'll be at work. So we basically work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
There were so many days when we'll go home and like, I can't do this anymore. This is tiring. This is, I can't do it. But you wake up and you start all over again.
Yeah,
I
mean, 300.
300.
Yep. With the sword. I'm going to get a sword now. And they're like, let's go.
Let's go. I think every woman is strong and powerful. It's just she doesn't know. She doesn't believe that she is. Do you know what I used to? Do you know what I used to do? I mean, because I've been around Oprah for 20 years, and I think she is the most incredible human that I
ever met. I can't wait to see her at your party.
Yeah. So when she, I will think, oh God, she's so smart. How she's able to do this? Like, and when I will have a day that was tough, I will think, what Oprah will do? That was my question. What Oprah will do? She will be calm. She will do this. She will, you know, this was in my mind. And I will think, if she was able to make it,
Another one who was self-made.
Yes, totally self-made.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because there's very few women at your level in terms of in business and being a mogul and that kind of thing. What do you think? Is there like added pressure to you in that sense, or was it harder for you?
No, I never put too much pressure on me because look, I do everything that I do 110%. I put my heart and my soul. And I cannot do more than that.
Yeah.
So why should I have more pressure?
That's so great. You're right.
This is how I am.
Yeah, you can't give more than
I can't give more than that.
You're going to cut my blood and give you my blood too?
IV every day? No, I can't.
Yeah.
So I'm content. I know that every time I put 100% in whatever I do, and if sometimes it's amazing, sometimes it's not. But it at that moment was what I could do. And maybe I could look back and think, oh, I didn't do that well this. Let me do it again. And maybe this time I will have a different perspective. Because I believe that opportunities, there are opportunities every day for everybody. It's just you need to be in the right place and prepare to grab that opportunity. I think it's life is like a train station. You know, you are in that train station and you see trains, stops, the door opens, and sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you're running towards it and it closes
and
before
it
you
closes
get there.
Closes before you get there.
Right there.
Because you are not ready. You are talking with some friends or whatever. You had a boyfriend and you are in that relationship and you didn't think of your whatever other plans that you had. And I think it's just you need to be in the right place when the opportunity is.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be prepared. Grab it. Stay focused. Be determined. Do not move from that. You know, you have to be a straight shooter. I'm like a bullet. If I put something in my mind, I have to do it. And I persevere, really. I don't, you know, I have a good idea because I know so many people with great ideas, amazing, smart people I met in my life. But they give up before they go to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not easy. It takes a lot of strength and ambition. And again, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But if you are able to do it and stay focused, you will definitely win.
That's the thing. I think it's easy not to be focused. And then it's easy for the voices in your head to talk to you and say,
correct.
you're not going to be good at this, yeah, or someone else is better, yes, at this. Yes. And, you know, you have to have that mentality in, yeah, order to win. You have to be, you have to know, correct, that you can do it.
Yes. I think this is what will stop people from reaching that end. Mm-hmm. I think like, oh, I don't think I could do it. I know somebody that is better than me. I'm like, no, you are the best and you will do the best of you can.
Yeah.
And you will win.
Yeah. It's the power of your mind and the mentality and, absolutely, the manifestation of it all. Because,
absolutely,
it's funny, you're saying that women don't know their own strength, right?
Yes.
And I believe that because I always thought I was weak. And I think in these last 2 years with everything we've gone through, I've looked back, and especially with some time, because when you're in the tornado of so much work and, absolutely, you're going, you can't see everything. So, yep, now I've like stepped back and I'm like, man, I took their best punches. I took their best punches. Oh, and then dealt these health crises and handled it like a champ. I was like, wait,
yeah,
I am really strong.
Very strong.
But I think sometimes you got to be put to the test to, and then take a second to look back.
Yeah.
So we need some time in our lives to reflect.
Totally agree with you.
Looking at all the beautiful products that she brought in here, of course, the Sultry palette is her newest palette that's available on the website, right?
Yes. Sultry.
So,
Sultry. I like that.
It's so beautiful. You know, every time my daughter comes with a new makeup palette, an eyeshadow palette, I think like, oh my God, this is my favorite, absolute favorite. This is our first cool tone eyeshadow palette, and I think it's my favorite.
I like don't even want to take it out.
So
but
those boxes are so beautiful.
So it's like these flowers. Who are the flowers by?
J'adore les fleurs.
Yeah,
yes,
so it's like that box
so
of
sweet,
like,
yes,
preserved flowers,
yes,
and I'm opening up the case. Oh my Lord, these are gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Let me say,
the texture, oh, the everything, it's so, the blend, they are so blendable and they are so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we use the best ingredient, you the best quality. She makes a different formula of every pan. Wow. My daughter is a perfectionist.
I love shadows that are that shimmery
one,
too. Like all that shimmer.
And you know, it's not a chunky shimmer.
Yeah.
So you could use it without looking, you know.
I think it looks very modern
gorgeous
right now
because
it doesn't
and
look as
beautiful,
thick. It just,
yes,
gives you a little bit of that.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then these glitters.
Yes.
So what are these ones used for? Just like eyeshadow and
so
highlight?
In,
you can
right
use it for
here on the
right?
upper lid, yes, you could use it. And we have a glitter adhesive. We have some loose glitter there, a few colors, and then I have mini lip glosses, liquid lipsticks as well, mini. Hydrating oil, I think you have it in the box, is the best even for.
What's the glitter adhesive? That sounds really cool and new
well,
to me.
Well, to
make sure they stick.
Make sure they stick because it's a loose.
So you
pigment.
Put it on under?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
First you put the adhesive and then you put the glitter.
So pretty. So
yeah.
So is there an age category to this? Or a lot of people are scared of glitter as they get older. Does it actually, you know, is it something you should use more sparingly if I don't know.
You don't need to use tons of it. You know, you could use right here where the light is going to hit or
yeah.
here.
In the corner of your
the
eyes.
Corner of your
yeah.
eyes. But it's, look, our followers are from 12 to 90.
Yeah.
So we have women every age, every, I think, and this is how I always, this is my advice to everybody, is just makeup. You don't like it?
Take it off.
Take it off.
Yeah. yeah.
It's not that serious, okay? Practice. And I've seen, since 2012, I've seen incredible makeup artists just doing their makeup and learning.
Yeah.
Because makeup is, you have to practice and
yeah.
you'll become very good at.
Well, the thing I've seen is because of YouTube and all these tutorials
yes.
and stuff and social media, mm-hmm. of course, now people have access to learn at home. Whereas before you had to go to the beauty counter.
Correct.
Someone had to do you there. And then you
yes.
had to try to remember that.
Yes. And you used to go at Neiman Marcus and get your makeup done if you had a party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now women feel the power because, in my opinion, if you look good and you learn how to do your own makeup every day, mm-hmm. you are powerful. You feel powerful. You
yeah.
are confident. You feel pretty. And I think that's very important for women. So they will use makeup every single day. Yeah. They will contour every single day. Thank God we created that contour kit and brought so much attention. Not that contouring didn't exist, but only the makeup artists in Hollywood, they used to use.
For the everyday person.
Everyday person.
You made it very accessible all women to be able to do that.
And made them understand that this is important. Please learn how to do your own makeup because you become powerful. Mm-hmm. This is power. Knowledge is power. Learning how to do your makeup, it's a lot of power.
Are there any trends that you see coming in makeup or in eyebrows that we haven't seen yet? We've been bronzed forever. Are we going to go with pale skin? Because I'm really tired of having a bronze all the time. I mean like self-tanning bronze. I'm okay with putting a little powder bronzer on, but it would be really nice for us to embrace our whiteness.
But to be honest with you,
I don't have to do all that work anymore.
And my opinion is that makeup is what you like, what works for you. Mm-hmm. You want to go pale and just with some pink cheeks, you could do that. It will express a mood, the makeup to you. Sometimes you want a lot of makeup. Sometimes you don't want too much makeup. I think it's such an easy way of changing your mood, make you feel better about yourself by using makeup. I really encourage every single woman to explore. I have sometimes clients that are like, I have the contour kit, but I'm afraid to use it. I don't know how to use it. Well, go on YouTube and watch a video tutorial, Anastasia contouring, and you practice. And I promise you, you will get really good at it.
What are the things you can't live without on a daily basis?
Well, the brow is the tweezer. I think I have in every purse.
I do too. I have like 8 of them from you.
I have it in my car.
In my car, of course.
Because that's when you see it, isn't it? Bright light.
Yeah. Like, there's a layer.
I know. The hairs that you will never see in your bathroom, you will see it in your rear mirror. Of course, I mean, you know, those are the... And of course, a lip gloss. Yeah. I love my lipsticks. They are matte. I like really matte lipsticks. I could go from a nude color or to a spice color, like an orangey or very dark heather. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends, again.
Any trends in eyebrows, you think? I mean, I feel like back in the early 90s, we were doing thin.
Oh, no.
Now we've gone back to like the natural
never
thick.
Stop,
so
yeah,
never on yeah.
You never did it, I
never.
Know.
But because my theory is that you shape your eyebrow. Your eyebrow should be perfect alignment with your feature and your face. So the way your eyebrow should be shaped is according to your bone structure. That will dictate the shape of your eyebrow. So if you twist too much, unfortunately, eyebrow is not like a bad haircut. Mm-hmm. The hair grows back. The eyebrow sometimes doesn't grow back.
Yeah.
Maybe for a photo shoot, you will want to go with the thin eyebrows. I will not suggest anybody to do that, tweezing, because they will not grow back.
Yeah.
So you could do that with makeup. You could cover your whole eyebrow and go.
Just pencil
makeup,
it in.
Pencil it in.
Yeah.
There are so many tricks right now that you could do it with makeup. You could go with ombre eyebrow, lighter in the middle, and you could go stronger, darker.
Ooh,
from
fun.
The highest arch to the end. So use makeup and you could create every desired shape on your eyebrows, but your eyebrows should be naturally shaped according to your bone structure.
I love it. Anastasia, you're a gangster. I'm so proud to be your friend. Thanks for listening, guys, to Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Again, we hope that you'll rate, comment, subscribe. We love hearing from you guys. If you want to join our newsletter with life-changing tips and tricks, lots of great giveaways, visit mariamenounos.com. And in the meantime, follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at Masashi Daniels, at Christy Reports. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.